the Tri-State's number one motorsports talk show. Today's program is brought to you in part by our marketing partners. Recognized by the Eastern Motorsports Press Association as one of the top racing shows in the eastern United States, here's Rappin' on Racin'.
This is Brandon Bragoon, driver of the number 60 crate weight model of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania Motor Speedway, and you're listening to Rappin' on Racin'.
This is the Banker Bob thought for this evening. I've noticed that a lot of people my age clearly remember things that never happened.
Good evening and welcome to Rappin' on Racin', April 16, 2024. I'm Don Gamble. We have a nice show planned for you this evening. The Director of Operations and the voice of Pittsburgh's Pennsylvania Motor Speedway, Tyler Harris, will be here with all the information on what they're doing at the track. With all of the localized flooding and relief efforts taking place, it was best interest to cancel the UEMS Racing Series special event. The team at Pittsburgh will be working with the UEMS to reschedule in the future. Tickets for the event that have been processed will get a full refund. The management team will now look at Saturday for the annual Herb Scott Memorial Race, Rorick Automotive Night, and tickets are available at ppms.com. Our guest, Max Blair, will talk about his win at the Toilet Bowl at Clarksville Speedway. Brandon Bragoon, multi-time late model feature winner at Pittsburgh, will join us. Brian Hutchko will join us with some of the special things he's been doing at the Speedway. And then Howie Bayless has a nice interview with car owner Big Tom Armel and his driver, Dale Holledidge. Andy Anderson, a former Hagerstown Speedway track champion, will be with us, as well as Trevor Feathers, Hagerstown Speedway feature winner. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver, and we dedicate a lot of our time to going as fast as possible. My grandpa Lou is the reason why my dad and I started racing, and I'm really proud to follow in his tracks. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. I've learned a lot on this journey with my grandpa Lou, and the memories of my grandpa will always be with me. And in our family, we're used to getting involved, and I encourage you to do the same, especially when it comes to caring for your loved ones. When I think about Alzheimer's and the impact it had on my family, I recognize that losing a race isn't such a bad day after all. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently, experiencing problems with their memory, or having trouble with routine tasks. Talking about Alzheimer's can be really tough, but if you notice something, have a conversation with your loved one. Encourage them to see a doctor or offer to go with them. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services, make a plan for the future, and access available treatments. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together.
This is Brandon Bragoon, driver of the number 60 crate weight model of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania Motor Speedway, and you're listening to Rappin' on Racin'.
Fans, joining us now is the Director of Operations at Pittsburgh's Pennsylvania Motor Speedway and also the voice of Pittsburgh. Tyler Harris, how are you?
I'm great, Don, as always. How are you?
Good. I would like to start off by offering condolences to the Harris family. Your Uncle Kenny passed away. I saw him race at Motordrome in Jennerstown, and him and your dad race at Lernerville in the number 33 Golden Goblet car. So I'm sorry for your loss.
No, thank you very much. Yeah, it's sad. You know, it's never easy when it's your family member or part of the racing community. A lot of people have vivid memories of that race car. So, you know, and ironically, he shared that race car with my father, Kevin, and they were twin brothers. So, you know, my dad's taking it kind of hard. You know, being twins, you have that special kind of connection that I probably will never understand. So, but yeah, we're making do with what we've got and just happy to continue to pass on the legacy or his memory through this great sport.
The folks at the track, I mean, Blair and his team, they continue to amaze me. And the latest thing now is the flood relief drive. I'd like to talk about what's planned for that.
Yeah, so that already came through and came to fruition, and we were so fortunate to have so many people within our racing community and within our local communities who might not know a whole lot about our racetrack or our facility up there at Imperial, but they stopped by and donated a bunch of items to the people who are in need in the local areas that have been flooded around the racing area or around the racetrack. So Coriopolis, Oakdale, Carnegie, Bridgeville, a few others too. So all in all, a bunch of supplies, all the way from clothing to cleaning supplies to food rations to kids' toys, gift cards, monetary donations were all raised and then split between both Sturgeon Volunteer Fire Department and the Oakdale Hose Company. And then from there, those two fire companies will then administer those needs as needed to either local community shelters or to just directly to the people in need. And then if there's anything left over from what hasn't been used, then they'll be able to store them and use them for future instances such as like fires or hopefully not additional flooding, but it's there if needed.
Did I understand in one of my discussions with Brian Hutchko that the Speedway was also donating some food?
Yeah. So we were having food available for first responders or those immediately impacted by the floods too. So we had a couple people come and take that, and then whatever we didn't give away at the racetrack, we sent down to the fire companies as well to administer. So so we also did give out some food as well.
You have to be so proud of your team there. It's just amazing. Okay, if the weather ever cooperates, we got a big show coming up Saturday.
Yeah, absolutely. The Herb Scott Memorial. It's funny, not ha-ha funny, but interesting where, you know, we had all this bad rain and our community was flooded and we were still actually able to race Saturday. As a matter of fact, the track and the pits, the facilities were ready to go, which was kind of hard to believe with the amount of rain that we did have, but we just felt it was just the right thing to do to go ahead and cancel, because I don't think entertainment or racing was really on many people's minds at that current moment. So ultimately, I do believe we made the right call for the best interest of everybody involved, but we are eager to get back to racing. We're chomping at the bit, and the Herb Scott Memorial is coming up here this Saturday, April the 20th. So I'm excited to always pay homage and to remember and honor the legacy of Herb Scott, one of the greatest race car drivers in Western Pennsylvania. So thrilled that Deke allows us to host that race every single year with the Rush Late Model Touring Series. And initially, this wasn't supposed to be the Rush Late Model Series opener. However, due to 2 weeks of continuous cancellations at the Tyler County Speedway, we now have the opportunity to host the season opener for the Rush Late Model Touring Series. So we expect the best of the best to come here to Pittsburgh to take on our local racers. Every time the Rush Late Model Touring Series comes and faces our Pittsburgh drivers, it's always a great battle, great competitions all the way through the field. And I look forward to the challenge again.
We're talking to Tyler Harris from Pittsburgh's Pennsylvania Motor Speedway. Now, you mentioned the late models. Let's talk about the Rush Modifieds.
Yeah, they're coming the following week, Saturday, April the 27th, for their season opener as well. So it's pretty cool this year. We've had the opportunity to start off a lot of seasons. We were looking forward to try to start off the UEMS E-Mod Regent Racing Series schedule as well. However, Mother Nature not cooperating here this past week. So we're going to work with the UEMS to try to find a suitable rain date for everybody involved. But a lot of great opportunities to kick off a lot of seasons this year. And it's no different with the Rush Modifieds as well. We like having them here, there, and hope to see a stronger car count this season. I think that we will. And look forward to having them here for four times this season.
Going down the road to some of the other events, if and when we get the Rush Modifieds in, what are you looking for to be maybe something that we haven't had there for a while?
BRP Modifieds is the very following week on May the 4th. That's going to be our Cinco de Mayo, I'm not 100% sure how to pronounce it, and I apologize to any of the Latin listeners that may be listening. But anyways, the BRP Modified Tour will be there to help kick off their season as well. So we look forward to that as well on Saturday, May the 4th. I'm really excited to see the big block modifies there at the Speedway. In my opinion, it's a perfect track for them. Big half-mile racetrack, and if that thing flicks off, it's going to provide great racing for all of them. So I know the big block modified drivers have already expressed their excitement to come back down and be a part of it too. So I think there's plenty of opportunity for a bunch of different divisions to come and check it out. But the next 3 weeks really are going to be a really exciting 3 weeks at the racetrack.
Well, you mentioned Cinco de Mayo and our Latin listeners. We have such a diverse group of people coming to the track where, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago, it was just one group, but now it just keeps expanding to all different ethnic categories.
Yeah, and that's reminiscent of the racing community as a whole. We are diversifying, and I think it's a beautiful thing, you know, kind of going back to, obviously, I wasn't alive at this time, but in the 70s and even the early 80s where females weren't even allowed in the pits, and now they're welcomed as competitors, and you're starting to see that diversity kind of spread throughout the racing community. It's a beautiful thing, and I'm really excited for it.
Very positive growth. Well, is there anything you'd like to add, anything additional that we need to share with the listeners?
All of our tickets are available to purchase right now at ppms.com. Really looking forward to getting the season back rolling again. I know that everyone's really anxious to get going again, and I am too. So, but yeah, ppms.com is the one-stop shop for everything involving Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania Motor Speedway. Be sure to follow us on all of our social media platforms as well as we continue to post there. And Don, I just can't wait to get back to PPMS, get back to racing. It's kind of getting a little annoying with all the weather, but hey, at the end of the day, we're just bystanders, and hopefully Mother Nature becomes a race fan here for this weekend. We really want to have the Herb Scott Memorial and Rourke Automotive Night at the racetrack.
I guess this would be a good time to send out birthday wishes to Tabitha.
Yeah, happy birthday to Tabitha, Blair's wife, owners of the Speedway there. So, and another thing is too, Don, when you said proud of our team, I'm just so proud of the way that Blair and Tabitha have really embraced this whole racing thing, embraced the racetrack, embraced the community. They've already been members of the community and have always tried to give back through 2020 Landscaping and Tree Service, but now they have a larger platform to do so with the racetrack as it has such a tremendous following. So they are just doing such a great job with promoting this racetrack and doing what they do, and I'm just so proud to be a part of that, or part of their team. So I can't say enough and sing enough high praises about them. They're just doing such a phenomenal job.
Tyler, I thank you. We'll talk next week.
Absolutely. Sounds great, Don. You take care.
Race fans know by now that Rappin' on Racin' takes you behind the scenes with in-depth interviews of drivers, promoters, and racing personalities. But now it's time to go under the hood and see why another local legend laps the competition. Number One Cochran is Western Pennsylvania's leading automotive retailer and has been earning fans of the tri-state area since 1965. From luxury coupes to heavy-duty trucks and every type of model in between, they have it all. Choose from 19 new car brands plus thousands of pre-owned vehicles. You'll also get Number One Cochran's best price up front with total transparency and absolutely zero hassle. It's known as Clearly Better Car Buying, and you won't find it anywhere else. Visit a local Number One Cochran store near you or buy online anytime with Expressway at Cochran.com. Number One Cochran, proud sponsor of Rappin' on Racin'.
No one covers motorsports like Rappin' on Racin'. For nearly 40 years, Rappin' on Racin' has provided the best in motorsports information with knowledgeable and veteran reporters who cover all forms of racing. Weekly reports include local dirt and asphalt racing from Pennsylvania, Ohio, and West Virginia, plus the All-Star, Lucas Oil Late Models, NASCAR, Rush, and the World of Outlaws. Listeners get the latest breaking motorsports news. The show features special guests, local track reports, driver interviews. The host of Rappin' on Racin' is Don Gamble. A former driver and track promoter, Don brings a wealth of racing knowledge to the program every week. Rappin' on Racin'.
All right, listeners, joining us now, a good friend of racing and just a general good guy, Brian Hutchko. Brian, how are you today?
I'm doing pretty good, Don. How are you down there?
Good. We survived the hurricane, and I appreciate, you know, I told my wife, I says, this guy's amazing. He's in Pennsylvania, and he offered to drive to North Carolina if we needed help. And I've always said racers are good when it comes to people in need. And I appreciate the offer, but you're amazing. You continue to just do things that are just, like, unbelievable.
I don't know about all that. I mean, my dad raised me right, raised me well, and I just try to help wherever I can help. And, you know, if I had to come down to North Carolina to help you guys, I'd be more than willing to come down there. I'd pack my bag and leave right now.
Well, you don't know how much that means. Now, let's talk about the Easter Bunny at Pittsburgh's Pennsylvania Motor Speedway. I mean, you do track maintenance. You race out there. You help your friends out. But how did you end up being the Easter Bunny?
The Easter Bunny, Tabitha, she looked at me and says, are you ready for Easter? I said, yeah, I'm ready for Easter. Why? She says, well, we got to get a costume for you. She says, you're going to be the Easter Bunny. I said, all right, let's get on here, hitting, hopping away here. So she ordered the costume, had it sent right to my house here, and I tried it on and sent her a picture, and we all had some laughs about it. And then practice day came for the Easter Bunny to come out there to the Speedway, and I was there in true form.
Well, now, your wife, Shannon, does she roll her eyes a lot when you do stuff?
Oh, yeah. She laughed her butt off at some of the stuff that I do.
Well, let's tell people a little bit about you. I mean, we've had you on in the past, but we continue to get new listeners, and I want to tell them a little bit about Brian Hutchko. What was your reason for getting involved in racing?
Reason for me getting involved in racing... My dad started out racing way before I was ever born, and he gave it up after I was born. He was unable to continue to do it with the cost of everything, and then having me and my three other siblings. So he started helping Dale Charlier down there in Midway, PA, the Charlier family, helping them build cars and stuff. And then I grew up into that. And once I graduated high school in 2006, it was my opportunity and time to get a hobby stock together. And we purchased one and finished putting it together, and that's how it all started in 2007. Was my first year in a car.
You mentioned the Charlier family. What a wonderful family. I mean, back in the 60s, I raced with Tubbs Charlier, a real gentleman, and I've watched the careers of all of them, but my most outstanding or most memorable moment, I was at Lernerville, and Mark Flick was winning everything at Motordrome in a Panther chassis. And I said to Charlier, I said to Dale, I said, what's the secret? What did you do with that car? And he shrugged his shoulders and he said, I have no idea. But that was one of the most successful chassis ever on the asphalt. It was built by a dirt guy.
Yeah, I was real young when that car was built back in the day. I think me and Daryl, I might have been 8 or 10 years old. Daryl might have been like 13 or 14 at the time.
Yeah. The car was amazing. How about your race shop? Is it at your house?
I don't have a race shop. I race out of my trailer. So how we pit at the racetrack and work on our car at the track, that's how I work on it in my backyard. I don't have a garage. I do it all out of the trailer in the yard.
Just another thing to amaze people. Now, you said it just a little bit ago. How many years have you been involved in racing?
I've been involved in it my whole life. I was born in 1986, and I've been going down to Charlier's since I was a kid, since I was like 4 or 5 years old going down there. And now I've been racing since 2007.
I know the answer, but I'd like your thoughts on it. What's the best part of racing?
Best part of racing for me is the kids and stuff, meeting the people, meeting the fans in the stands and stuff, the community, how the community gets involved, and seeing the smiles on people's faces when you go up in the grandstands. You know, you go up there to see somebody else, and the little kids run up to you, want an autograph, and they're just so excited to see you up in the stands. I mean, it's probably the smiles that you can put on people's faces, or you're in a grocery store and someone comes up to you that you don't know and they recognize you and they tell you how good of a show you put on or how good of a run you had the week before. Probably the recognition you get, but overall, it's also making the friends that we make in the racing community they're not just friends. We're all one big family. It's another part of the family that you don't have at home that's not your blood.
Fans, if you're just joining us, we're talking to Brian Hutchko, driver of car number 60 at Pittsburgh's Pennsylvania Motor Speedway. Leaving out the Charlers, because that would be an easy answer. Who's your favorite driver?
Favorite driver? Well, my favorite asphalt driver growing up was Dale Earnhardt, of course. You know, the Intimidator. And then on the dirt, Oh, man.
Well, you don't have to.
I'd have to say probably like Davey Johnson and stuff back in the day. Kurt Habedale and the E-Mod, Suchodolski, Larry Kugel.
Yeah, a lot of good drivers there. How about your toughest competitor? Who's that?
Oh, my toughest competitor. Well, the toughest for me is myself because I'm so hard on myself. Like in the hobby stock days, I ran hobby stock. Gary Catellis, Eric Goldberg, Skeet Slividowski, Davey Lee, Tony White. Then as we moved forward into the pro stock division, it was Danny Rich, Jake Simmons, Joe Anthony, Nick Kachuba. He's strong, very strong competitor. Of course, Chris Snyder and all the touring guys, Bobby Whitling and them, when I get out of it. E-Mods, when I ran E-Mod, open E-Mod stuff down at 250 Speedway, it was racing against, I'm trying to think of that guy's name, Larry Kugel was down there sometimes, Ty Rhodes up at Sharon, Tim Gold,
it's like the
Dan Davies. I mean, there's a lot of tough guys in that division.
It's like the who's who in racing. This is a silly question, but well, all the things you're involved in, do you have any hobbies?
Racing.
No time.
No time for any other hobby. No time and no money.
How about goals? At the end of the season, what would you like to accomplish in addition to being good for the kids and being good at the track and all the things that you do over and above being in the driver's seat? What would be a goal that you would look forward to?
I mean, everybody's goal in racing, you know, we all want to win, whether it's a heat win, a feature win, try to win a big race. I mean, every year I try to keep the car in one piece, bring it home. If I could finish competitively weekly in the top five, I would be thrilled with that at the end of the season. I mean, if I'm able to put on a good show for people and run fifth or fourth, I mean, I'd rather run door-to-door for someone than just walk away for a win or something like that. But sometimes some of the best racing that I've had in my career has been running last for last place, and you would have swore that was the battle for the lead.
How about pit crew? Yeah. Who helps you on the car?
Pit crew, it's mainly me and my wife. I got a couple close friends of mine that come out from time to time. Zach Hess, him and his wife Jenna, and their little boy. My other buddy Carl, his wife Chelsea, and their two kids, they're out there for the ULMS show that I competed in this year. They came out and helped me in a pitch, huge help. Anyone that could ever come out and help me, they're always welcome. I try to pay people's way and stuff to get them in there, and I mean, those are the ones that I count on the most. Tim Gold, Larry Kugel, they're a big help for me.
Brian and I are going to take a break. We got a couple commercials coming up. We'll be back after these messages.
Are you in need of financial planning or a portfolio review? Rick Sabo of RPS Financial Solutions is an independent financial planner who has testified as an expert witness on insurance and investment fraud. He helps people who are concerned about their portfolio or with other financial matters. His services include investments, pension, and 401k rollovers, estate planning, life insurance, and long-term care alternatives. As a registered IRS tax preparer, he can assist retirees with the completion of property tax rebate forms and other government tax reduction programs at no charge. Mr. Sabo does not charge a fee to meet with potential clients for a fact find. His office is located at 5061 Route 8, Gibsonia, PA. If you are in need of any of the services that he provides, give him a call at 724-443-5720. That's 724-443-5720. Or email him at rick.sabo@jwcemail.com. Securities offered through J.W. Cole Financial Incorporated, member of FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered through J.W. Cole Advisors Incorporated. Neither J.W. Cole Advisors Incorporated or J.W. Cole Financial Incorporated, nor its representatives provide legal, tax preparation, or accounting advice. Persons who provide such advice do so in a capacity other than as a registered representative of JWCA, JWC. RPS Financial Solutions and JWC, JWCA are unaffiliated entities.
Hi, my name is Jason Bush from Bush Brothers Tire Service. We are one of the best tire dealer and repair shops in Allegheny County, offering phenomenal customer service, expert in-house with more than 30 years experience to ensure premium craftsmanship is done start to finish. Bush Brothers Tire Service was started by my Uncle Paul Bush and Father Martin Bush in May of 1985. I, Jason, joined the company in early 2000. We offer state inspection and emissions testing, tire sales, tire maintenance, wheel alignments, general auto repairs, brake service, and free estimates. We are located at 1931 Monongahela Avenue, Swissville, PA, 15218. And for any additional information, you can reach us at 412-351-5342.
We're back. We're talking to an amazing guy, Brian Hutchko, driver of the number 60 at Pittsburgh. You're very good to your sponsors, and I'd like you to take a minute and mention who they are.
Yeah, my sponsors, I mean, they do everything for me to go above and beyond. I can't say enough about them. But I got to thank Always Safe Flagging, Traffic Control, Fuel Requires, two very huge sponsors that are able to help me get very far in my racing career the past 2 years, 3 years here. Couldn't do it without any of these people in the car. We got Real Nuts Vodka. It's a locally crafted vodka here in Oakdale, PA. They sell it here locally. They deliver right to your front door as well. We have Stush's Automotive over in Hill Station, Stush Shadowski, very close family friend. Johnny's Landscaping. We got Muscle Master Massage Therapy. We got Taylor Auto Body, Jeff Bronischewski. Imperial Heights Garage, Kurt Havidale. Highland Homestead Farm. Mousetrap Bar and Grill. Metro Contracting. Cherry Valley Restoration, Team Nuts, they specialize in automotive custom tint, lifts, lowering vehicles, interiors. We have Green Valley Shuttle Service. We have Kyle Lucon Racing, Rad Fab over there at Lucon's. We have Three River Karting Entertainment. And we just picked up a new sponsor this week here. It is PK Winery out of McDonald, PA. They make their own wine there locally right across the street. They have over 40 variety of wines, free tasting, live music, and bingo once per month. They have award-winning wines also, and they just opened up their winery in 2016, started making it here. That is Mike and Tammy Pollard out of McDonald. Again, that's PK Winery. Make sure to check them out online or on their Facebook. And who else am I forgetting about? I got to thank Rocket Chassis. I got to thank, big help for me this year is going to be Ken Chernick there from the 5X team, Ken Chernick Racing. Talk to him. Me and him are also local 66 operators. We ran equipment together here for the past couple years. Taught me a lot. And he gave me some advice here over the winter and helped me out at the practice session and on the phone there at the ULMS show. I can't thank Kenny enough. I think that's going to be a huge, huge part of my success this year is having him giving me some advice and pointers throughout the year. And Ingram Race Engines, Mike Ingram up there, him and his boys, I mean, they do phenomenal work on these motors. Franklin Rear Ends up there, Alex Free, Freddie Baracci. Man, I hope I'm not forgetting anybody. If so, I feel very bad. My wife, my friends and family, can't do it without them.
Well, you bring up a good point, and obviously you can't thank all of them when you're being interviewed at the Speedway, but it's something that I call the Hutchko method, and that's on the inner panel of your car on the passenger side. You have a list of your sponsors, so when you're thanking someone, especially the bigger ones, you don't forget anybody.
No, I started doing that a few years ago. I have them on each side of the deck, so in case one side of the car is rough looking, I could pull in Victor Lane the other lane for the other way for the pitchers, or vice versa the other way, and I got it on both sides of the deck so that when I'm standing there doing the interview, I have it facing the way that I think I'd be standing, or I'm going to try to stand, so I could just look right down at the deck. But I don't want to miss anybody, and I feel bad if I would miss somebody because they put so much time and energy into the program that we have here. I don't want to go and not recognize people that are there for me, because I don't think it's very professional when people sit there and just start mentioning people and say, I just want to thank everyone. Everyone?
I was last year and the year before, I was doing a lot with the drivers from Jennerstown, and I had to embarrass them. And I said, there's a driver at Pittsburgh, has the sponsors where he can see them when he's in victory lane. And I finally got to, because some of them would say, well, I want to thank my sponsors. They know who they are. Well, that's not the main idea. We want everyone to know who they are. And I think you were helpful of some of these guys that finally picked up the, we'll call it the Hutchko method. And it's incredible. Hey, something special. Now, this interview will play after it happens, but Blair and Tammy are doing something special to help the folks that were affected by the storm. Your thoughts on that?
Oh, I just think it's amazing. I mean, what Blair and Tammy and their family has done up there at the Speedway, taking it over, you know, from the trick-or-treat thing that we had up there in October, then the Santa Claus thing that we had, then now the Easter Bunny. And now they're doing everything they can within their efforts to try to give back to the community as much as possible. I mean, it's outstanding. The fact they're opening up their doors, they're going out. I'm going to go out tomorrow. We're going to get some supplies together for people that are in need. They can go to the Speedway and get stuff, or we're going to have a bunch of the local fire departments come to the track. We're going to hopefully get them there, feed the first responders and all those in the community that are unable to be making meals for themselves, try to give them a little break there. That's their goal up there, is to give back and help support the community.
And then you also say they're going to try and help these people get some cleaning supplies and things they need to get their house back to the way it should be.
Yeah, they're going to go out, try to get some stuff themselves, and we're also going to rely on the community to bring stuff up to donate. And then the fire departments will distribute things in their local communities as necessary.
Fans, again, if you're just joining us, we're talking to Brian Hutchko, the driver of the number 60 at Pittsburgh's Pennsylvania Motor Speedway. When you think of all the things that Blair has done since he became the owner of the track, I mean, one of the smartest things he did was have Tyler Harris get more involved at the track. He was just the announcer, but now he's the director of operations, and he's full-time with Blair at 2020 Landscaping, and I guess he divides the time, half of it on the landscaping business and half of it on the racetrack. But, I mean, first of all, Tyler, excellent announcer, very proud of what he does there. But then his graphics and his computer work, he took some courses at my alma mater at Cal State. And boy, he's good when it comes to like putting up the message today when they had to cancel. He sent it out to a bunch of people. Then I forwarded it to all the people on Rapping on Racing Facebook page. So anyone that was in doubt, you know, what's going to happen this weekend, they already know. And then it talks about what's coming up next, and something that I'm kind of looking forward to, and that's the Herb Scott Memorial on the 20th. It's just hopefully we can get the weather to cooperate. I mean, all the tracks are struggling. It doesn't matter, local, national, whatever. It's just Mother Nature, she's going to have to get it together here.
Oh, yeah, she better get it together here quick, because I want to get racing. I'm sure everybody else around here wants to get in the seat as well and get some laps in.
Well, in closing, is there anything else you'd like to say or anything we need to add?
Just got to thank my wife first and foremost, and then my family. I couldn't do it without them, without their support. All my sponsors, like I said, Always Safe Flag and Traffic Control, Fuel Required, Stush's Automotive, Johnny Landscaping, Muscle Masters, Taylor Auto Body, Three Rivers Karting, Imperial Heights Garage, Highland Homestead, Mousetrap Bar and Grill, Metro Contracting, Real Nuts Vodka, Hutchco Mini Excavating and Transportation, Cherry Valley Restoration, Team Nuts, and Green Valley Shuttle, Kyle Lucon and his dad, Phil, and Ken Chernick, Mike Ingram, Paul down at Rockets for the Shocks. I mean, just I'm really thankful and blessed for everyone to be behind me, supporting me, and I'm looking forward to a good season here, hopefully.
Well, I want to wish you luck, hopefully a bunch of wins. Brian Hutchco, I thank you for being part of Rappin' on Racin', and you have a super-duper season.
You too, sir. Thanks for having me, and God bless everybody. Stay safe.
Every day when they open the doors at Zarin Truck and Automotive in South Heights, Pennsylvania, their goal is to provide great customer service by offering affordable automotive and truck repair service performed by highly trained technicians at the highest industry standard. By implementing the latest diagnostic equipment and computerized repair manuals, you can rest assured that your vehicle will be repaired to factory specifications for your specific car or truck. At Zarin Truck and Automotive, they believe in honest repairs and will demonstrate that fully by explaining the repair or service you are receiving, and they'll give you an estimate or quote before work is performed. When you choose Zarin Truck and Automotive in South Heights, Pennsylvania, you are choosing professional automotive repair and maintenance performed by expert automotive technicians. That's Zarin Truck and Automotive in South Heights.
Listeners, joining us now is Brandon Burgoon, one of the most successful drivers at Pittsburgh's Pennsylvania Motor Speedway. Brandon, how are you?
Good. I'm good. Thanks for having me.
One of my favorite things is seeing you in Victory Lane with Mark, your five-year-old boy. I mean, that just epitomizes everything in racing. The family aspect and being able to do things with, you know, mom, dad, your son, your family, sister, anybody, that's the best part of the whole deal.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'll say at the beginning of the year, he was actually afraid to go to the races because of the noise. Then I kept asking him, you know, you want to go? And finally, he said he'd go, and he's loved going ever since. And, winning races with him there is so much fun.
You could tell by the smile on his face. He's loving this. Now, even though I know the answer, the listeners don't, and we get a lot of new listeners. So I'm going to ask you your reason for getting involved in racing.
My dad raced, my grandpap raced, so I was kind of always around it. And even after my dad finished driving, I mean, we still went to the races a lot. So that I've been around it pretty much my whole life.
One of my favorite old-time racing pictures is your grandfather. It looks like maybe a 39 Ford Coupe, number 17. And when I look at those cars, it just...
I know a picture you're talking. I have quite a few pictures of that car. I believe they were 37 Fords with a flathead in them.
What
they ran.
Yeah. Yeah, and then your dad, I saw a lot of pictures of him when he was winning races. So... wasn't a surprise as far as why you got involved in racing. Now, since you're driving for Ken Chernick and Bob Bentz, I guess it's safe to assume that you're not maintaining the car at your house?
No, we keep the car at Ken's house. I do try to help maintain the car, and I know I do all my tires for the car also. So, I still try to help. I know it's kind of hard now with working and having a son. Takes up a lot of time, but I still try to get out there and still help with the car.
Well, you got two good people. I mean, Bob Bentz's experience in racing, probably, I don't know how old he is, but I've known him for maybe 40-some years. And, he's driven them, he's built them, he's won in them. His dad was very involved. So you could not have a better person to lean on when you have some questions. Now, as far as jobs in racing, you mentioned you take care of your tires. Have you ever worked for any other race teams helping out when you didn't have a ride?
No, I haven't. I haven't helped any other teams. Normally, if I wasn't driving, I would like try to get out the other races that I normally couldn't when I was driving.
Yeah,
just watching other divisions like sprint cars or super modified race.
Well, you've been in some good cars. When you were in the 02 car, that's a good car. Now you're in another good one. How did your deal come together with Ken and Bob?
It was actually through Bob. He had started helping Ken, and Ken was looking for a driver. And I had driven for Bob Bentz before, and he brought my name up and actually gave me a call asking if I wanted to drive the car. And I was kind of nervous about it at first because I hadn't been in a car for quite a few years. But I jumped at the chance.
Like riding a bike, just takes a little time to get back in the saddle. How long, not counting the downtime, but when did you first start driving?
I started in go-karts in 1999. Then 2005 was the first year I ran a limited late model at PMS.
2005. Okay. Do you have, other than your dad and your grandpa, do you have a favorite driver?
I say when I was growing up, it was Lynn Geisler, Davey Johnson, John Flinner. Those were my favorites growing up.
Yeah. Your dad actually spent some time driving in the Geisler car, didn't he?
I know he was in it at least once.
Yeah. Well, that tells you what Lynn thinks of your dad as a driver, because that's pretty impressive. Who's your toughest competitor?
Oh, there's
a bunch.
Quite a few of them.
Yeah,
I'll say even on regular nights, Ben Police is really tough. Mike Reft, Kyle Lucon when he's there, Cole Batrell. I mean, you have to be on your game every night.
Actually, any one of the top 10 could be in victory lane.
Fans, oh, yeah, definitely.
If you're just joining us, we're talking to Brandon Burgoon. I would say the toughest part of racing is probably the time commitment. And, well, since you don't have to maintain the car, that gives you a little bit of a break, but I'm sure that Mark keeps you busy.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely, he definitely keeps me busy. Like I said, it seems like I'm always busy, trying to help out with racing and taking care of Mark. But I have to thank my mom and dad for helping me with Mark when I'm doing some racing stuff.
For the benefit of the listeners, and I'm aware of the answer, but your house is what, about 200 yards from the racetrack?
Yeah, I'll say up. I believe from my driveway to the top of the ticket booth up the pit road, it's a quarter of a mile.
Quarter of a mile. That's pretty darn convenient. Now, it said if you couldn't go racing, what would you do? So when you had some downtime and you weren't racing, any hobbies, what did you do?
Kind of like I said before, just like going to races that I don't normally get to, like going to some USAC races. I really liked super modified racing. I know I went up to Oswego and watched one of their races, their opening night. Those cars are so cool. I say I wish I could get to more of them.
Those drivers are crazy. I mean, for anybody that's never seen one of those cars, it's just like it's like a rocket ship on roller skates, and there's not a whole lot of – I mean, you're sitting right beside the drive shaft when you're racing. Scary.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Any total on number of wins in any of your combined racing?
I believe I have 12. I believe it's around 12 super late model wins. Then I had 3 limited late model wins at Pittsburgh, and now we have 5 crate late model races under our belt over here at Pittsburgh.
You've really come on the scene here with the crates, and I think they made a good choice. Now, we already talked about Ken and Bob, but that's probably not the whole pit crew. Who else helps you out?
I'll say my dad normally helps me every week, and Kayla, Ken's daughter, helps out. That's pretty much our crew for race night.
Well, it's a good crew, and the results are good, too. Now, how about the sponsors? Let's take a minute and acknowledge them.
I got to thank Stan's Transmissions, Close Racing Supply, Doherty Motorsports, Napa Auto Parts, Ingram Race Engines, and Franklin Rear Ends.
A very good group of sponsors. Checking my notes here. I think I covered all my questions. Is there anything you'd like to add that we didn't get to yet?
No, that's about it. I'll say just hoping for another good year. Hopefully it's as good as the year we had last year.
Yeah, I agree. Well, Brandon Burgoon, I want to thank you for being with us, and I appreciate you taking the time and look forward to hearing more about some additional victories this coming season.
I sure hope so. Thanks for having me, Don.
No one covers motorsports like Rapidon Racing. For nearly 40 years, Rapidon Racing has provided the best in motorsports information with knowledgeable and veteran reporters who cover all forms of racing. Weekly reports include local dirt and asphalt racing from Pennsylvania, Ohio, and West Virginia, plus the All-Star, Lucas Oil Late Models, NASCAR, Rush, and the World of Outlaws. Listeners get the latest breaking motorsports news. The show features special guests, local track reports, driver interviews. The host of Rapidon Racing is Don Gamble, a former driver and track promoter. Don brings a wealth of racing knowledge to the program every week. Rapidon Racing.
I want to take a minute and thank some of the photographers that help us at Rapidon Racing. At Lernerville, it's Tommy Hine. At Pittsburgh's Pennsylvania Motor Speedway, it's Steve Scarupa. Howie Bayless takes pictures everywhere. I never know where he's going to turn up. And occasionally, I'll get a photo from someone that's not part of that team, but I will acknowledge their photo when I get it. So to these hardworking photographers, to help make Rapidon Racing successful, I say thank you very much.
Thanks for tuning in to Rapidon Racing. I'm Lenny Baticki. Coming up next, a recording we did for PRN's At the Track. Check it out. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Welcome back to PRN At the Track. Joining us now on the ProFabrication.com hotline, the winner of one of those races that you hear about and you hear about and it still makes you chuckle, the Toilet Bowl at Clarksville Speedway, Max Blair. Hey, Max, I had no way of having Max Blair at Clarksville Toilet Bowl winner on my bingo card. How did you come out of, you know, Pennsylvania, New York, and end up over there in Tennessee and take this victory? This is, you know, not that you weren't capable of it, but I just never would have figured you would have went over to this one. What was special about you going?
Yeah, it's just, you know, the timing worked out. It was 10,000 to win both nights, and, you know, we made the chassis change to Longhorn this year, so I just feel like I need to race as much as I can possibly race right now and keep on learning and figuring things out, and, like I said, the timing worked out, and we were able to go, and, you know, it ended up definitely being worth making the trip down.
Yeah, it did.
Max Blair on the profabrication.com hotline, winner at Clarksville Speedway of the Toilet Bowl Race, where they give you, yes, a toilet bowl in Victory Lane. And I saw your wife was there and the kids. What was your wife saying on the drive home about where this toilet bowl's going to go?
Yeah, she didn't really say too much. I mean, it's, you know, regardless what the trophy is, obviously winning any kind of 10,000 to win race nowadays is tough to do, especially with the competition that was there. So it, you know, it's actually a pretty unique trophy. It's, you know, not everything I have, it's one of the coolest ones just because you know, who would have thought that was going to be a trophy, I guess.
Everybody I've ever talked to about, I think Herb had it in the middle of his, you know, his trophy stuff, and, you know, a couple of others have actually used them and everything. I'm genuinely interested in, you know, where Mrs. Blair might allow you to keep that.
So I have I got like a little man cave deal, and we actually put it on a stand in the corner in the man cave. I talked about installing it in the man cave, but I don't want to, you know, eventually a toilet goes bad. When that happens, then what would you do with it? I don't want to have to throw it away or anything. So we put it up on a stand just as a trophy with some other trophies.
Well, it is certainly a keeper, and one that is genuinely a genuinely tough race to win, an important race to win. And now our guest on the profabrication.com hotline, Max Blair, has his award and the victory that goes with it, as well as the $10,000 to help offset the expenses of, you know, getting over to that racetrack and doing what he did. Max Blair, our guest on the profabrication.com hotline. Profabrication headers, exhaust, all the parts and pieces that go with it. Just a click of a mouse away at profabrication.com. So where will this year take you? What is the plan overall for those that don't follow Team Blair on all the social medias and such? Where will we see you out and about? Are you going to follow a series? Are you going to kind of go where you want? What's the year look like ahead?
We're going to follow the whole Lucas tour again, and then probably do most of the flow races. And I'd like to hit a lot more stuff around home than what I have the past couple of years. Just, you know, it's a lot of fun when I get to race around home and see my friends and family and sponsors and get to do that kind of stuff. So, you know, any kind of decent paying race within a few hours of the house when we're home for, we'll probably go to. So, I mean, I think we have like 113 or something like that races on our schedule penciled in right now. We'll see if we end up doing them all or we don't, but we plan on it being a pretty busy year.
Max Blair on the profabrication.com hotline, winner at Clarksville Speedway, the toilet bowl race, got his trophy and the family there to celebrate with him. And about home, son's looking like, you know, he's about time to get in a go-kart or a legend car or something like that. Are you starting to get those questions? Hey, Dad, I want to, you know, sit in a driver's seat somewhere?
Not too bad yet. He's obsessed with football right now, so he's more into throwing the football. But I'm sure someday we'll have to do something. With the schedule we have right now, it'd be pretty tough for me to put him in anything right now because I'm never home to do it. And he, you know, my wife and kids actually come on the road with me 90% of the time, so.
Wow, that's good deal there. They keep the family together and go race it across the country. Max Blair doing it all and taking the win at Clarksville Speedway last weekend. And, of course, you and I share a passion for a particular football team and that helmet emblazoned there in Victory Lane. How does a PA guy become a Dolphin fan?
My dad was when I was a kid, so I've just been a fan my entire life. And the older I got, the more and more into it I got. And now I've had, this will be my fifth year being a season ticket holder in Miami. And we definitely get right into all that.
Well, it is good that he has family and distractions to keep him focused when he is in the race car. The mind going forward, Max Blair, our guest on the profabrication.com hotline. So you check this box off. Where across the season ahead with the Lucas Series, or maybe some of those even closer to home, that, you know, some special races that as you were growing up, you didn't get to check off the box yet. Have you got one or two that you're still like, yep, them I'm going to work hard to get this year?
You got to, if you're going to win any race, you got to work hard to get them nowadays. So, I mean, you know, it's always fun winning any kind of big race close to home, but you know, we'll just keep on plugging away here and do the best we can and see if we can't grab us a couple more.
Steve Arpin and Longhorn, you mentioned them early in the interview, and as a group, they seem to have upped the game this year. What's that transition been like, just personality-wise? Not the you know, technical part of the chassis and things like that, that the listeners, you know, we'd all need a degree to, you know, be able to understand everything you say. But what's it like? Arpin's a fun dude, you know, I've known for a while. How's that transition been like for you?
It's been good. You know, they've all been very helpful, very friendly. You know, the hospitality's been great, and you know, I'm looking forward to continuing to work with them. You know, I really don't have anything but great stuff to say about everybody I've dealt with down there, from Arpin to the parts guys to just everybody who's affiliated with it. It's been really good so far.
Longhorn chassis driver, winner of the Clarksville Speedway Toilet Bowl, on the profabrication.com hotline, Max Blair. Max, where can folks follow you so they can keep up with the schedule, with things that you're doing, social media wise and the other?
TeamBlairRacing.com. There's 111apparel.net is where all the merchandise is at. And then there's a Team Blair Racing Facebook page and a Centerline Motorsports Facebook page. And my wife actually runs the Centerline Motorsports one, so it's usually pretty entertaining.
Well, get on it. Follow Max, a friend of the show, and we appreciate him taking the time to do this interview. Fans, stay with us. We'll be right back with more.
Joey Logano here for Hunt Brothers Pizza, where you can choose from 10 toppings all at no extra charge. In a hurry? Call ahead to place an order or grab a hunk of pizza on the go. Follow me on the track all season long and visit huntbrotherspizza.com to find your next pizza.
Are you in need of financial planning or a portfolio review? Rick Sabo of RPS Financial Solutions is an independent financial planner who has testified as an expert witness on insurance and investment fraud. He helps people who are concerned about their portfolio or with other financial matters. His services include investments, pension, and 401k rollovers, estate planning, life insurance, and long-term care alternatives. As a registered IRS tax preparer, he can assist retirees with the completion of property tax rebate forms and other government tax reduction programs at no charge. Mr. Sabo does not charge a fee to meet with potential clients for a fact find. His office is located at 5061 Route 8, Gibsonia, PA. If you are in need of any of the services that he provides, give him a call at 724-443-5720. That's 724-443-5720. Or email him at rick.sabo@jwcemail.com. Securities offered through J.W. Cole Financial Incorporated, member of FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered through J.W. Cole Advisors Incorporated. Neither J.W. Cole Advisors Incorporated or J.W. Cole Financial Incorporated nor its representatives provide legal, tax preparation, or accounting advice. Persons who provide such advice do so in a capacity other than as a registered representative of JWCA, JWC. RPS Financial Solutions and JWC, JWCA are unaffiliated entities.
Main Street Music and Sound is your full-service music store, featuring a huge beginner-to-boutique inventory. Main Street Music maintains a hometown approach to service with personal attention. Customers rely on Main Street Music and Sound for advanced product knowledge, expert in-house repairs, audio, video, lighting installations, and years of hands-on experience. Main Street Music features lines that include Anderson, Guitar Works, Bogner, Fender, Gretsch, Yamaha, and more. Main Street Music and Sound is teamed with the highly respected musicians at Bentley and Romito to provide professional music instruction for just about any instrument at any skill level and at any age. Main Street Music and Sound is located at 327 Main Street, Irwin, Pennsylvania. Call 724-382-4633 or email info@mainstreetmusic.com.
Right now, we're going to grab a word with the owner of Big Tom Motorsports and one of his drivers who he wanted to ride so bad, he went and buried Big Tom's daughter just to make sure he had a ride, Dale Hollidge. Welcome to Rapid On Racing, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Hey, Tom, last year you had three drivers and all three of them went to victory lane. Quite an accomplishment for a team of your size.
Well, it was four because Blake won the bike race.
Sorry, but he didn't make it behind the wheel of one of the race cars.
He wants to. They all want to drive. But, you know, we got a pretty good deal going on. We got some good sponsors help us. And, well, Dale and Trey, I think, pretty good situation.
You know, I know it had to be an accomplishment to see your car go to victory lane with Dale driving. And you've won, I mean, championships at Winchester, and you picked up a win down there. But how big was it to see your son go to victory lane in your race car?
Oh, it gives me cold chills right to the day. I mean, he's put a lot into it, and we all have. And to see that, I mean, it's really nice when Dale wins. You know, he's won a lot, and he's a very good driver. And for Trey, as a young kid, for him to go there, especially for his very first time, I don't think it ever can be beat.
And, Dale, earlier in the season last year, but right before Trey got that win, you two finished first and second. And what was it like battling not only your teammate, but your brother-in-law?
Well, yeah, I was scared he was going to pass me there. I had to pull some old tricks out and lap traffic. I didn't want to live that one down. But, yeah, it was pretty cool, and letting them bring both cars up at night. A lot of hard work, a lot of effort by everybody to make this deal go, and especially with two cars, a lot of sponsors and everybody that's involved. It's a lot to keep it going.
And, Dale, you've had a lot of success. You're a feature winner on the World of Outlaws, and you wanted to regroup. You started your business, and I think at one point you were without a ride, and Big Tom said, you know what, you married my daughter, you might as well drive my race car.
Yeah, it went something like that. I don't even know that we had it planned until it kind of fell into place, and just been rolling all ever since.
And you've always had a tight connection. You started out your racing career driving for your mom and dad. Now you're driving for your father-in-law, and a lot of success. What are the plans for your Zero this year?
Well, we'll be running steel block stuff. We're going to run the steel block clashes here at Potomac, Winchester, and we'll run some more races, maybe a couple super races, Winchester, Potomac, whatever pays decent, and we'll see. We got everything together, so we'll be back next week for a steel block clash at Potomac.
And, Tom, are you kind of glad now that the cars are running separately, not against each other?
Oh, I love it a lot better. You know, Dale, you know, should be a run the limit or a late model. You know, he's that caliber of driver. And him and Taylor has got a lot of sponsors down that way to make the limited car, you know, come through there with the motor. It's hard for me to do both of them, but now they've stepped it up. And, you know, Dale spun money himself, and he deserves to whatever he gets out of it.
And are we going to get to see you back behind the wheel at all of the race car this year?
I got to. I mean, I'm a grouchy bitch if I don't. I got to at least do it once. If he gets in the point battle down Winchester, I'm going to just try to keep him in there. But, yeah, it's either that or just run the hell out of the lawnmower every week.
Now, you guys have how many cars? I know that he has the Rocket. You have the NBH, but do you still have any of your other cars sitting around?
We got a 2009 Masterbuilt car. It's never been bent. It's still a decent car. Just needs some money spun on it. But we're just going to keep these two cars and maybe get something newer later. As long as my paint business stays good and Dale's got that DHR and the guys to help him, it takes a lot more than just me. And that's what, when you put four or five people in it together, you're going to get good things if we all work together.
Would you like to have both of them driving the same style chassis as, I know Dale's in the Rocket and Trey's in the NBH car, I believe?
Yes, Trey's in the old Huey chassis. It was a Masterbuilt, one of my cars I've kept. But Dale's a Rocket man. He always has. He's tight with Mark Richards, and that's what he wants to run. Like I say, it's a shame we always say money, 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 but we're going to try to do it no matter what happens because I've never thought I've seen anybody love as much as I do as Dale does. You know, there's people that live it, and there's people that don't. And we're two that definitely – the guys will drag it out of the trailer on Sunday mornings and tear it all apart just to come back here for the next week.
Now, how hard was it when you first put Trey in the car? He was struggling a little bit. But then I don't know how it came about, but Trey ended up going out on the road with Team Blair, and he learned a lot. And the astonishing thing is he came back, and I think he had a more new appreciation for what you and Dell were trying to do for him.
And absolutely, and I felt that from the time he did come back. I thought he appreciated it a lot more. He struggled when he first started, but he also moved into the limited class first. And, you know, we had some motor issues. And of course, when he went on the road with Blair and rest of them World Outlaw guys and Lucas Oil, he definitely got a lot smarter. But there's still stuff you gotta have to learn behind the seat that they can't teach you, which I think he's done a hell of a job.
How hard was it, and this question's for Dell, because I think you can relate to Trey. How hard was it to come up here and drive for a legend? The name Armel, Hagerstown, Winchester. I mean, don't get me wrong, the Hollish name is very well known, but that's almost like royalty.
Yeah, I agree. You know, they're well known around these parts, and I think it's just cool to be a part of it, even though I'm kind of stuck into it now, you know. But, you know, everything's going good with everything, and I think everybody involved is happy about it. So all we can do is keep our heads down and work as hard as we can and try to win races.
Now, Big Tom, you have an eye for finding young talent, and you got, what, two more boys at home waiting to get behind the wheel? Oh, they're here today. Okay, I apologize. Waiting to get behind the wheel of a race car. I hope that painting business is doing pretty good. Dell's fabricating business.
It takes all of it. You know, even a little bit of sponsors we got and the ones he got. Yeah, the painting's got to keep rolling. Without that, you know, it slows it way down. But we work hard during the week just to play on Saturday evenings. So, but it's in our blood. That's all we know. I don't know to do anything else.
You know, you went through it. How hard was it when you started racing? And you had a lot of success, and I think it was the grocery getter class. But you worked your way up to a late model. With Trey, you just put him into a late model chassis. Was that just because it was easier because you had the car, or just why spend the time working your way up when you could just start up?
Well, I mean, it is because we had the car, and that's what we were in. But also, no, the grocery class, if you're in it too long, you can learn some bad habits when it comes to these cars. He don't know any different. Being up there with Max Blair and Robbie all day long and every day definitely made him a better racer. But like I say, there's stuff you still got to learn. So we just want to keep it clean here today. And we got Dale's car coming out on track. It should be next Friday night. Or what is it, Saturday or Friday? It's Saturday. So, you know, we just want to keep it clean.
And Dell, how big was it for you to when Big Tom said you could keep your zero on your car?
Yeah, I think Taylor had a lot to do with that. It don't much matter to me. I don't care what they are. As long as they ain't a bunch of pink race cars, I ain't driving no pink race car.
Now, if Taylor said the car is going to be pink, would it be pink?
No, absolutely not. She'd be banded.
But, Dell, same thing. Was it hard coming in and, you know, driving for the Armels? I mean, I can remember at Winchester, I won't say you and Tommy weren't very close. You were very close on the track, and sometimes you got even closer in the pits.
Yeah, there's been a couple instances over the years, many years back, but that's just racing. I don't take anything personal in racing. I mean, guys are going to get together and this and that or whatever have you. I'm here to race. Doors are going to get bent. Quarter panels are going to get smashed. There ain't no sense in fussing and fighting over it. You just go on to next week.
Now, you have kids, and it's kind of ironic. Did you ever, like, sit down with Mason and be like, yeah, that's me and Pap side-by-side racing, and, well, we're going to skip this picture. That's us yelling at each other. But are you trying to teach Mason, don't, you know, always remember what you say, because it could come back one day, and that could be your father-in-law?
Yeah, I think he's well aware of what's going on. He's heavily involved, too. They're always out in the shop working, and he's here today. Of course, he wasn't going to miss it. So I don't think there's any way to steer him around racing at this point.
And you come from a racing family, too. Your mom, former promoter at Winchester and Potomac, and your dad was a racer. And, you know, out of all the accomplishments, race has meant so much to you. I mean, you've done something that most people can only dream of. You won a World of Outlaw race. But when you were a little kid, did you ever think racing would you'd meet your wife through racing?
No, not really back then. I mean, originally when I was real little, I always thought I was going to be a sprint car driver, but ain't really much of that back home. So that kind of went out the door there in a hurry. And started coming here and racing back when I was running the street stock stuff, and moved to the late models. And you know, we've done what we could over the years. We won a lot of races, a lot of big races, and we just keep plugging along.
Now's a chance for you to go and thank everybody, the pit crew and the sponsors that you guys have. And we'll go first with Big Tom.
Well, of course, it's DHR Fabrication from Dale, and then the Farmers Paint Company. We get that TNT sweeping porter potties. Dale knows the rest of them. You know, it's people in his family has helped us that people don't know that for some money, and it's made a big deal. You know, it's a team sport, and I think we all just keep working together and learning off each other. We'll get a few of them, but, you know, just want to keep it clean.
Dale, anybody you want to go ahead and thank?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, both families, mine and Tommy's, everybody's pitching in to make this deal, and a lot of sponsors on my own stuff with Crew Sun Concrete, TNT Sweeping. We got a lot of product sponsors, and one of our big sponsors, Ambrosia Acres, Ronnie will be here in a little while. He's helped us all get this done a lot, and spends a lot of time working and money on this deal. And just a lot of product sponsors that have been with me many years, Integra and Rocket Chassis and Gorsuch. You know, we've got a whole list of people, and we need every one of them to make it all work.
Race fans, be sure to keep an eye on Big Tom Motorsports. Drivers Trey Armel, Dale Hollidge, and Big Tom Armel will probably get behind the wheel if one of them mess up. Right, Big Tom?
Absolutely.
Thanks. Good luck, guys.
Every day when they open the doors at Zarin Truck and Automotive in South Heights, Pennsylvania, their goal is to provide great customer service by offering affordable automotive and truck repair service performed by highly trained technicians at the highest industry standard. By implementing the latest diagnostic equipment and computerized repair manuals, you can rest assured that your vehicle will be repaired to factory specifications for your specific car or truck. At Zarin Truck and Automotive, they believe in honest repairs and will demonstrate that fully by explaining the repair or service you are receiving, and they'll give you an estimate or quote before work is performed. When you choose Zarin Truck and Automotive in South Heights, Pennsylvania, you are choosing professional automotive repair and maintenance performed by expert automotive technicians. That's Zarin Truck and Automotive in South Heights.
Race fans, right now we're going to grab a word with a former Hagerstown and Winchester track champion, Andy Anderson, and his son, Braden Anderson, who's been started his racing career about, I don't know, 6-7 years ago. And what?
About three or four years ago.
I'm sorry. I just remember seeing the first time you were in that car. It was an orange and white Rocket crate car. And seeing your grandfather riding around the track trying to teach you how to shift. And now you're out there competing. And, you know, you were kind of born into this. Your dad, very successful. Your grandfather, very successful driver. What's it like coming up, growing up, and knowing that one day you'll be singing that legendary number 25?
I mean, it's definitely a dream I've always had, racing. I loved watching my dad race more than anything in the world. I got big shoes to fill. I just try to be myself and go out there and have fun as much as I can.
And one thing, you know, your dad does is he doesn't spend time with you, but last year you guys kind of struggled. So tonight here at Hagerstown, your dad's going to run the car and you're going to sit back and just take in and make sure everything is good. So next time you're out there, you know, the confidence level will be under you.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think today is definitely a win-win for me. I mean, I get to watch him race again. And if he does good, hopefully the people think it's me. And if he does bad, I get to tell him he did bad. So I think it's a win-win for me.
Every kid's dream, right, Andy?
Yeah, yeah. I just wanted to get it fronted a couple times. I'm good with that. It's just I didn't want to send him out there with the wolves. We got a new shock package on there, and I wanted to just get the car close. And then that way I know if the car is close, and if I didn't get to run it, you know, I'd have been on his ass or something saying, Braden, I know the car is right. And then, but now, I mean, right now we just got done running the heat there. The car seemed like it was pretty stuck. It drives good. So, That'll probably be one of my last races this year. I'm more likely he'll end up running. I might run another race or two, but, you know, we'll see.
Now, it's kind of reversed. When you were younger and you got into racing, you were driving for your dad, Ernie Davies, and you jumped right in there, and you guys had matching cars at some points. And what was it like? I mean, you know, it had to be a lot of pressure, but the dynamic of racing with your family.
Oh, it was always good there. I mean, he was hard on me. I was hard on him, and we'd argue, and then over the weekend, and then we go back to work the next on Monday. I mean, it was without him, you know, I wouldn't be where I'm at. He gave me the opportunity to race when I was like 20, 21, and which he didn't have to, and he did. And then, you know, I just took it off from there. And then, you know, I always had good equipment. That meant a lot. We always had good stuff. You know, that's how Ernie liked keep his cars. And, you know, and then when we did was in the outs, I was fortunate enough because of him give me a ride where I was good enough to get a ride elsewhere. And then, you know, I ventured and had other rides. And, you know, I was successful in all of them. I mean, I pretty much we won in about everywhere we went. And then, you know, then I ended up going back, and we drove when he started racing here like last year and a half ago. We got a modified car, and then we bought this crate car to get him back into crates. And then, you know, just pretty much bring us all back together, and then, you know, so we can race again as a family.
What is it like now the shoe is on the other foot? You mentioned Ernie was hard on you when you were driving. How is it now that you're the father and, you know, not the son?
Oh, I'm real hard on him, Eric, because I know pretty much when I see how the car reacts, you know, if he runs one good lap and three bad ones, that's him. I mean, you know what I mean? That's he's not, you know, he's making mistakes in the seat. So that's on him to try to get consistent, hit his marks. And then, you know, we bicker back and forth. He's not like I was in the early 20s. I worked on my stuff all the time. You know, all the time I was working every night of the week racing. Right now I have a hard time getting him to work on the car. So, but, you know, he can learn off of me just by watching and then just being around, you know, other cars and just learn off of them as well.
And you've been said yourself, you had a lot of rides through the years. You drove for the Jones brothers, the Bob team, and I guess they're getting ready to head over to lineup. So we're going to keep on interviewing Braden. How hard was it for you to jump in here knowing that, you know, end of the day, you guys still are going to be father and son, and, you know, everybody thinks it's easy and great, but you got some big shoes to fill.
I definitely have big shoes to fill. I mean, I don't feel like he doesn't push me to be like him or be better than him. He just wants me to be myself out there and not let all the pressure get to me. He does a lot behind the scenes for me. He's really hard on me, but I know it all comes out of love, and he wants me to be the best I can be, and I got to pay attention and listen to him, what he tells me. I got the best teacher, and I just got to listen.
Well, now's a chance for you to go ahead and thank everybody besides your dad and family who make your race impossible.
First, I want to thank my grandparents for letting me do what I love. Without them, I couldn't be able to do this. Without my dad, he does everything for me, more than I could ask for. He's the best teacher I got. And then I want to thank Nine West Hair Studio. I want to thank Anthony's Pizza. I want to thank Eagles Race Engines. I want to thank Anderson Property Management and Rocket Chassis for giving me a car that I can drive and have fun in.
Braden, I've been watching you for a long time, and I know that first win is going to be coming very soon.
I hope so. I finished second twice last year. I got to the leaders, and I just got excited and stepped on it, and I fell back. I ended up second, but I could have had I had a car to win. I was passing them for the lead and just got excited and messed up, but I feel like it will be coming sooner than later.
Hey, good luck, and thank you for your time.
Thank you so much.
I want to take a minute and thank some of the photographers that help us at Rapping on Racing. At Lernerville, it's Tommy Hine. At Pittsburgh's Pennsylvania Motor Speedway, it's Steve Scarupa. Howie Bayless takes pictures everywhere. I never know where he's going to turn up. And occasionally, I'll get a photo from someone that's not part of that team, but I will acknowledge their photo when I get it. So to these hardworking photographers, to help make Rapidon Racing successful, I say thank you very much. I'd like to take a minute to talk to you about Steve Scarupa Photography. Steve specializes in wedding photography and shoots landscapes for fun. He has separate websites for both brides and weddings. He shoots some badass photos, sometimes people, sometimes racing, and sometimes nature. Steve's work is excellent. You can check him out at stevescarupaphotography.com or 412brides.com, which is his wedding website. Steve is your go-to guy for the best photographs in the tri-state area. You won't be disappointed.
Race fans, right now we're going to get a word with one of the drivers who ended 2023 on some very strong notes, picked up a couple wins at the Port Royal Speedway, the pilot of the Feathers Roofing car number 2027. You never know, but if Trevor's behind the wheel, you can guarantee that car's going to the front. Welcome to Rapidon Racing, Trevor.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, you're down here at Hagerstown and semi-late today. What are the plans for 2024? I know you guys like to focus on the Super, but it's nice to see you coming back to your roots, which you started out your racing career in semi-lates.
Yeah, I mean, this the Super deal is always fun, and you know that's what we're all that's our number one focus. But like this weekend, there's nothing going on Super racing unless we go 6 hours south, and you know we're not ready for that. We're not ready for the bills and all that to go down there and race. So we put this car together to hopefully just have some fun and kind of have relaxing weekends with it.
Now, you're a third-generational driver. Your granddad started, your dad, Bo, a legend through Virginia, Maryland, this part of the country. You've been starting to try to branch out. You picked up wins at Port Royal, which I don't believe your dad ever won there, did he?
They were Lincoln.
Yeah, and you picked up wins at Lincoln. You've won before at Cumberland. Winchester, your former Winchester track champion. What kind of pressure is that when, you know what, your dad, when you started racing, you went right into a late model chassis car. You didn't start out and work your way up. What kind of pressure was that on you being Bo Feather's son?
I never started anything. I was always told I was never going to race. That's why I started kind of late into the racing and started with the limiteds because that's what we had at the time. I don't look at it that way. Every time I go racing, I want to win. That's what we're always focused for. I always get called Bo's son or whatever. I don't really pay much attention to it. I am my own person. I go out here and sit in the car and do the best I can every time I try.
And that's one thing with you. You wanted to get your identity as soon as you started. It would have been so easy just to slap a 00 on the car. But if I remember right, your first number was 27.
Yeah, we brought it back with this limited car. I was joking with them earlier. The reason I changed to 20 is because we were sucking so bad with 27. We needed a change of pace, and we were doing good with the 20. But I figured it was time to bring the 27 back out and hopefully have some fun and some good luck with it.
Now, did you ever have the opportunity to race against your dad?
Yeah, probably 2-3 years of racing against each other. We ran a lot of races here together. We raced together at Winchester. Quite a bit, actually. Some in the steel blocks also back in like 2010, 2011. So, yeah, I've got to race with him a lot.
Now, this is what, your 16th season behind the wheel of a race car?
I think it's my 15th.
15th, okay. Sorry, 2009. And you picked up wins pretty quick out of the barrel. And then it seemed like you got into a little patch of struggling and then it all came around and you picked up that hometown championship at Winchester. What was it like joining your dad as a Feathers, as a track champion at the Winchester Speedway?
It's always cool to do anything that he's done. And I've been fortunate enough to do quite a lot of the things that he was able to do with the championships or winning certain races. me and him are the only ones to ever win 2 years in a row at the Lee Stoltz Memorial, which is cool in like 30 years of history with, I mean, if you look at the names that have won the Lee Stoltz Memorial, and just to put your name on that list is quite amazing. And then I've done it three times. So, yeah, I've done a lot that he's done, and he always is there supporting, trying to make us better. You know, and that's the deal with this car. We really kind of went out on a limb, bought a frame, did a lot of work to the frame. It's an old car. The motor we just got, you know, it's not, you know, some big high horsepower motor. It's what we could afford and what we wanted. And Alan and Craig, ANC Racing Engines, hopefully they're here tonight and we can do them good with it.
How hard is it to jump from the Super into a steel block? I know the cars are the same, and the shocks and everything else is the same, but, you know, the late model, and I could be wrong, you pretty much flat-foot that car. This one, you're also flat-footing, but with the Super, if you get out, you know, you jump back on, you're going to have a quicker response.
It's mainly all about timing. It's actually been, the last race I ran here in a limited was the Fall Classic in 2011. I won the race. So it's been 13 years since I've raced a steel block car here, so I don't honestly know. I know that this place drives a lot different with the steel blocks. You can drive in the corner four or five car lengths deeper than what you can with the Super because you're not traveling down the straightaway as fast. But the turn speed's going to be a lot greater. Winchester's about the same thing. You get into the corner deeper. You pick the fuel up harder, faster. I don't know. Come back and find me after warm-ups. I'll tell you.
And you like Winchester. So close to your house, but you traveled up here to Hagerstown to run the car. It's just nice to get away where you don't have that hometown pressure on you?
I don't really look at it, anything with pressure on it. There's not one person, none of my sponsors, none of the people around me. You know, if there's pressure to be put on, it's me putting pressure on myself. Nobody else really says anything. You know, like I said, I put enough pressure on myself. They don't have to. We came up here for the sole purpose of they allow American racers. And I know that's an unpopular thing going around. Everybody's, you know, huge your American racer crap. But we switched to American racers there May last year. Our tire bill went way down. The tires are a lot better. That was part of the deal of doing the steel block stuff is we can do it and we can run and not really have a lot of bills to go out and have fun. And anytime you're in a race car, it's making me better. It's making us smarter. I don't care what kind of race car it is. Anytime I can be behind the wheel, I'm going to be better off. So there's a lot of things that went into this, but yeah, the reason that we're here is because they allow American racers.
Now, one thing I've noticed, and I've been friends with you, followed your career, I used to always say to you about never running the, as I called it, the common chassis. You started out in a Warrior, you spent a good 8 to 10 years in a Barry Wright, you had a Longhorn when you were driving for other people, but now you're back with this being a family car, and you went off the radar. You went and got a Blomqvist car.
Yeah, the reason we went and got a Blomqvist car is they, if you look at people like Chris Ferguson, you look at people like Shane McDowell and Brian Shirley, the people that have these Team Zero cars, they're racing these cars for 7-8 years. That's not something that we've really been used to. We got a lot of years out of Barry's cars, 2-3 years on one frame, which is awesome. We switched to the Longhorn stuff, and we felt like after 25 races, the reliability of them and the feel of them was gone, and we would have to go back and get another one. And we were just always revolving chassis, and it was a lot of work on everybody. And we went and got these cars because of reliability. These things should be able to run for years. Like I said, this is a 2016 car. It's a real solid car. It looks solid. It might go out here and be a piece of shit for all I know. But no, it seems like a good solid car. And you know, the car we have back at the shop, it's a 2023. It's a new car, but we've put, I don't know, 23 races on it, and it hasn't changed. And that's what we're looking for. You know, our family stuff, we don't have hundreds of thousands of dollars to go blow on race cars. And, we got to have something that's reliable and lasts for a while. And I think that's what we have here.
Now, throughout your career, what would you say is your favorite win?
I don't know, to be honest with you. I don't really think about it. I'm the worst forgetting about my wins. I remember the bad things, and I forget the good times and the fun times and stuff like that. But I don't know. If we can go out here and have a good run tonight and win tonight, tonight's probably going to be the most gratifying win I've ever had. Me, Bubby Dillman, my dad, Junior Ritter, Pee-wee, we built this car in 5 days from the frame to sitting at the racetrack. We had some hurdles along the way. This motor we got, the oil lines were on the bottom. We had to get a new oil pan. I mean, there was a lot. In 6 days, 5 days, I put 72 hours in the shop. So if we can win tonight, probably tonight.
I got one for you. Remember down in Cumberland, your parents were on vacation. You were driving Larry's car, I believe, and your dad wouldn't let you bring the big hauler. And you were down there in a 28-foot enclosed and a pickup truck, and you didn't start the feature up front. I think you were like around 10th or so. And I remember you won, and you just wanted to go in and grab your phone and call your dad and tell him we did it. And I just remember it was, you had just so much pride, not in the fact that you won, but you did it without the family, and you did it on your own.
Yeah, and we've done it. We did it 2 years ago. He was having some problems with his heart and had to go in for some procedures, and I wasn't planning on going racing. And we decided to go down the Natural Bridge. They had a big race at the end of the year, and we went down there and rolled out of there with $5,500 in cash. And they were watching it on FaceTime, and that one was gratifying. I'll give you that. I completely forgot about that one. That was probably my biggest win, to go back to that. But yeah, it's always nice to have him here. We kind of butt heads a little bit. I guess that's what fathers and sons do, especially when sometimes he thinks he can get in and do a better job than what I'm doing. And the cars have changed a lot. The fields have changed. Everything that I'm looking for in for a race car is not something that he looks for in a race car. And I don't want to say I'm better than him, but I'm a little bit better than him in changing my driving styles. Like his driving style is his driving style, and the car must match it. Where if the car's off a little bit, I can kind of change my driving style a little bit more. Like I said, these cars are a little bit easier to drive than what he had to. So I always try to. I always try to work with him, but sometimes it's better if I just do the thinking on my own, because I kind of know what I want, know what I need to feel. And if I console him, he's thinking 2006 instead of 2024, and a lot's changed in those years. But yeah, it's always nice having him here. But this is a team that we got with me, all my guys, all my sponsors, and if a piece is missing, our team always picks itself up and keeps going on.
Let's go ahead now and thank the sponsors and crew and any car owners you want to go ahead and thank that helped make Trevor Feathers the driver he is today.
First, my mom and dad, my grandfather, my Uncle Jimmy with McFarland's Custom Painting, Sandy, Timbrook, Cassie, the whole family up there with North River Farms, new sponsor this year, George's Used Cars out of Pennsylvania. They're kind of close to Port Royal, so it's cool to have a Port Royal sponsor on a car that's out of Winchester, Virginia. Larry and Lisa Royston with Martin's Pumping Service and Larry Royston Septic Service. John Caulfield, he always makes us look good. ANC Racing Engines, Rick Leggett does so much for me every day that nobody knows about. It's unreal the way that Rick is with me. I gotta thank American Racer, Jonathan DeHaven. He does a lot for us also. Anything I need, he picks the phone up, he takes care of it immediately. Shane McDowell, another one, picks the phone up. Anything I need, he's there for me. My crew guys, Bubby Dillman, his son's here racing tonight. He spent all week with me in the garage helping me build this car. Another person, whenever I need him, he's there for me all the time. Pee-wee, Tony, Clark, Junior Ritter, another person that helps us out a lot. He's always there for us. He's got a lot of brains behind him, which keeps me headed in the right direction. And I got to go back to my Uncle Jimmy. My Uncle Jimmy is the biggest supporter that I have, and it's quite unreal everything that he does for me.
Race fans, be sure to keep an eye on the Feathers Roofing, whether it's number 20, 27. It might even be 00 one day, but if Trevor's behind a wheel or a bow, that car's going to the front. Thank you for your time, Trevor.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver, and we dedicate a lot of our time to going as fast as possible. My Grandpa Lou is the reason why my dad and I started racing, and I'm really proud to follow in his tracks. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. I've learned a lot on this journey with my grandpa Lou, and the memories of my grandpa will always be with me. And in our family, we're used to getting involved, and I encourage you to do the same, especially when it comes to caring for your loved ones. When I think about Alzheimer's and the impact it had on my family, I recognize that losing a race isn't such a bad day after all. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently, experiencing problems with their memory, or having trouble with routine tasks. Talking about Alzheimer's can be really tough, but if you notice something, have a conversation with your loved one. Encourage them to see a doctor or offer to go with them. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services, make a plan for the future, and access available treatments. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together.
I want to take a minute and thank our marketing partners. Number one, Cochran Automotive. Pittsburgh's Pennsylvania Motor Speedway. Zarin Truck and Automotive. And RPS Financial Solutions. Without these people, we would not be able to do Rappin' on Racin', and I thank them.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life. And I had to start again with just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American. Men who died, who gave that right to me, and I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to LA, where there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say,
State's number one motorsports talk show. Today's program was brought to you in part by our marketing partners. Recognized by the Eastern Motorsports Press Association as one of the top racing shows in the Eastern United States. Have a great week, and be sure to tune in for another installment of Rappin' on Racin'.
Stand on it.
Come on, y'all, stand.